Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. And while America fumes about the college admissions criminal cheating scandal and all the legal privileges it implies with respect to elite private colleges involved, don't forget about the option of public universities, where you're less likely to find this sort of thing and less likely that you or your child will be educated in an elite bubble. And there is big news from CUNY along these lines. The president of Queens College, Felix Matos Rodriguez, has been named chancellor of the whole CUNY system, very relevant to the issue in the scandals. Dr. Matos Rodriguez has led Queens College to a very high ranking for social mobility for its students. Matos Rodriguez has also been president of Hostos Community College, where he's credited with improving retention and graduation rates, also an indicator of social mobility. He himself graduated cum laude from Yale as an undergrad and got his doctorate in history from Columbia. He grew up in Puerto Rico and has been the secretary of the Department of Family there as well. So, Dr. Matos Rodriguez, congratulations on your appointment. Thank you for coming into our studio. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. It's great to be here. And thank you also for the great work that you do informing all New Yorkers of the key issues. I'm a big fan of your show, so it's great to be here.
I'm honored that you say that. And I pulled together your bio from a few different sources. Did I mess anything up in that intro?
All that is accurate, but the one thing that I want to add to what you mentioned about the importance of great public education sort of in the context of this sort of cheating scandal is it's also that it's a great quality education that New Yorkers should be proud that their children and working adults can attend institutions of the greatest quality at a very affordable price. And we're very, very proud of that.
So what does it mean when they say that under your tenure, Queens College reached the highest echelons as a social mobility school? How is social mobility measured in that respect?
Well, one of the great things is that when we always go on the road and we talk about the transformational role that the City University has and its foundation mission to have a quality education be accessible and affordable to individuals that have all the talent, all the promise, all the desires, but don't have the means to be able to pay for that. And that's our DNA. One thing is to say that we had a study done by colleagues at the University of Chicago that quantify that. And so how many students from sort of the bottom 20% of income move up to the top 20%. And the City University of New York broke all the records, all the charts. So it was great to have a study validating the story that we've been telling, that we're really the American dream machine here for New Yorkers.
That's a fascinating statistic. So if the parents earned in the lowest 20% of incomes, and the child grows up and earns in the top 20%, that's an awesome stat. I guess you have to wait at least like 10 years after you graduate in order to get to that, right?
Well, and that's why the study took so long, but they used the data coming from our admissions office, and then they use, tax information to be able to ascend that. But it's great to have sort of an outside validator to that story of great social mobility that we have, which is, you know, holds true at Queens College, Hostos, you know, Hunter, Baruch, Brooklyn, all our schools.
Demographically, what's the makeup of Queens College these days?
Well, Queens College is very reflective of the borough that we serve in Queens. We're about 29% of our students are of Asian American background, about 27% of Latino background, another 11% African American, and then, you know, you do the math and the rest, you know, pretty consistent with what the borough of Queens, where we get most of our students. When you take that to the system at large, you know, we have 275,000 students in the City University. Those are for credit, another 500,000 that do continuing ed credit. That makeover of the credit students is about 20% Asian, about 24% African American, and 26% Latino. So we are representing of the great Mosaic, that is the city of New York.
And before Queens College, you were president of Hostos Community College in the Bronx. How different is the population there?
Well, there it was reflective of the South Bronx, which is where the college is located, a very large Latino population, Puerto Rican, Dominican, and Mexican American, about 60%, if I remember correctly, a very growing, a large African American, but also a growing African migratory population, which is finding its home to the Bronx. So again, that is the City University of New York. It's great institutions, but also very neighborhood-based, serving the, being anchor institutions in the Bronx, in Brooklyn, in Queens, in Staten Island, all over.
The stats I saw for improvement in retention and graduation rates at Hostos that your office sent out, I don't know what to think. 5 years in a row of graduation rate improvement from 22% to 28%. So does that mean that more than 70% of the students still do not complete a two-year associate's degree?
That means that there's work to be done, and that also means that the statistics need improvement. If I have a student at Hostos, for example, that began at Hostos and transferred to another school, that will show in my statistics as somebody who didn't graduate, even though that person might have gone to another school and got the degree there. So there's some degree of imperfection in those statistics. There's also a signal about work that needs to be done, and we need to own those things and say that we want to do better for all our students. Some of those numbers also are right before one of the signature programs of the City University of New York, ASAP, began, which was a really, really targeted program to work with full-time students and give them Metro cards, intensive advising, making sure they stay on track. And that program system-wide has doubled our graduation rate. So again, a story of improvement, but also of work that needs to be done.
Those stats on doubling and other improvements in the graduation rate, that sounds like an indication that the way the school is run, the way the system is run, really can make a difference. And it's not only a matter, though I'm sure it's also a matter, of improving the underlying conditions of poverty and class discrimination.
Our students do not attend college in isolation, right? And there's issues of homelessness, and there's issues that affect the families that we serve. And one of the great things I think that the City University does is to be able to be a partner with many nonprofits and others who serve our students, so that we can be holistically providing support to the students. One other statistic, and it was very emblematic of the population at Hostos, was that, roughly 15-20% of all our students are parents. So if we want to break the cycles of intergenerational poverty, the concerted efforts between higher education and other agencies are indispensable, which I think is the point that you're highlighting.
Mm-hmm. And so how different do you think your challenge or your focus will be as chancellor of the full 275,000 student CUNY system?
Well, first, you touch on student success, and you hit on two of the key indicators. We need to be able to keep our students and make sure that they graduate on time and that they use that graduation to pursue their personal and professional dreams. I think that's something that we are in the right trajectory of improvement, but we need to do better. Another component, and if you have either college-age children or friends that have them, parents and their children worry about affordability and worry also about the connection to the labor market. Are you going to be able to get in a career or land a job? One thing that we need to do as a system is improve our career engagement. The cheating scandal shows the use of social networks to be able to advance things for the kids. When 30-40% of your kids are first-generation college, it is the City University of New York's job to be able to connect you and to help you create that network of employment. We have data that shows that when students have an internship, they are more likely to get a job. They're more likely to get a higher paying job. So I'm sure the business community is out there willing to partner with us. I'm sure there's something that the elected officials would love to be part of. So I think we can really be ready to do something transformative for our students in that whole area of career engagement.
My guest is the incoming chancellor of the CUNY system, Dr. Felix Matos Rodriguez. When we come back from a break, I want to ask you explicitly what you were thinking when you heard about this cheating scandal in the news, and we'll do that in 90 seconds. Brian Lehrer on WNYC with the incoming chancellor of the CUNY system, Dr. Felix Matos Rodriguez. You went to Yale undergrad, Columbia for your doctorate in history, so you know both sides, or let's say a full range of, you know, the higher education
spectrum.
Yes. How would you describe the value of a degree from those schools you attended to a degree from the schools you run?
Well, I mean, I think that the return on investment from the City University of New York, when you think about what our tuition costs are, and the fact that 65% of our students graduate debt-free, and when you go back to that study that I talked about, the quantum leap in social mobility, is not everybody is captured there, but it talks about structurally being able to do that. I think that is the story about public higher ed and their return on investment. If you think about the role of the colleges as anchor institutions in the city, I'm sure if you go around the studio here, you're going to have students from the City University of New York, undergrad, masters. You're going to have professionals, or maybe their parents went there and were able to afford a more prestigious school, if you wish, for their kids. So we're an indispensable part of the City University of New York, of New York City, and I think that makes us special. And the quality of our faculty, I was able to have great professors at Yale and Columbia. I would have them go toe-to-toe with some of my faculty at Queens. I mean, people who are stellar scholars, researchers, but also are motivated by the mission of our university, which is very important.
Do you think the reality of meritocracy is exaggerated in a lot of the public's mind in this country, or even meritocracy as a goal with respect to what college you go to?
Well, I think that clearly the landscape is, you know, increasingly competitive and I think in a way that's toxic, and I think particularly of the children. I mean, think in this whole scandal. I think about the students, the role model that the parents provided. I don't want to be too judgmental, but and I have two teenage boys, and I know the kinds of pressures they're under too, and I think that's not healthy. That we need to create an environment in which people want to grow, to be educated, to expose themselves to new ideas, to new things. I mean, we all want to be employed and be able to lead mm-hmm. a happy life too. Mm-hmm. And I think that this environment is very toxic, and also. It is not the majority of higher education. CUNY is a lot more exemplary of the majority.
The big state schools also
absolutely.
Around the country.
So this little sliver captures a lot more attention when we should be doing stories about what's happening in our public universities across the country.
What crossed your mind when you first heard about the college admission bribery scandal?
First, how lucky I am, you know, and I came to the City University of New York as a faculty member. I mean, back in 2000, I joined the faculty at Hunter, came to direct the Center for Puerto Rican Studies. So how proud I am of the mission of the City University of New York. So that was the first thought. Also in this line of work, scandals are always a great way to go back and make sure that things are running well in your school. So conversations with my own team at Queens, right, to make sure that things are being done by the book. But then again, how great it is to be part of a system where we can provide the highest levels of quality, be such a indispensable institution to this city, and do that in a way that it's inclusive and not exclusive.
I know you're coming into this position with some outstanding labor issues that you will inherit. and you may or may not be surprised to learn that you have a very active faculty union membership, because a whole bunch of them are calling into our show right now. And I'm going to take one as a representative, and that is Andrea in Manhattan, who identified herself to the screener as vice president of the CUNY Faculty and Staff Union. Do I have that right, Andrea? And thank you for calling.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Great. Thank you for taking my call, Brian.
Sure. What would you like to say to the chancellor? Ask the chancellor.
Well, you both have been discussing the issue of a scandal happening in terms of admissions. We're happy to have a new chancellor in place, delighted that he really knows CUNY and is a serious scholar, and that's wonderful. We are a union of 30,000 members, full-time and part-time, as well as professional staff, and we've been without a contract. And we are actually, I'm calling from, I hope it's not too noisy here, because I'm calling from right outside of City Hall. And we just left Governor Cuomo's offices on 3rd Avenue this morning, where we held a demonstration that we called a wake-up call. And we're outside having a press conference in front of City Hall, because we feel that there's a crisis at CUNY here. There's a scandal going on right at CUNY, and it really is a scandal of underfunding the university. And so the things that incoming chancellor mentions that we need for better completion rates, for better student success, really are completely dependent on funding and fighting for sufficient funding for the university. And in our case, as union members, for sufficient funding for decent contracts for all of our members, especially the 12,000 adjunct teachers who are making near poverty wages. So that's why we're here today, and I guess I would like to hear more from the incoming chancellor about his plans and his commitment to settle a good contract for us and to bring sufficient funding into CUNY so that students not only have access but have a quality education when they come out of CUNY. So, yes, CUNY is an economic engine. It's incredible. My whole family has three generations of people who've gone to CUNY and taught at CUNY. So it's hugely important to New York City. So I'd like to know what he has plans for settling the contract and bringing in the funds that we need so that we have the counselors that we need, so that we have the staff, so that we have full-time faculty, and our students can really succeed.
Thank you very much, Chancellor.
So thank you, Andrea, for the call. Thank you for the work that you do at the college. And also thank you for being part of a culture of civic engagement, which is one of the things that public institutions need to do, to have people out there expressing their views, and in your case, taking your views to the streets and also calling in. So let me take some of the many good points that she made and address some of them. Obviously, on the contract first, I'm not the chancellor yet, right?
When do you officially start?
May 1st, and I'm actually going to be doing Queens College and the chancellorship for a month because I wanted to be able to graduate. I asked the board chair, Bill Thompson, to allow me to graduate my class of 2019 as their president, and I thank him for doing that. So so I go May 1st. I know there's ongoing negotiations, and I wouldn't want to comment, and it would be inappropriate to sort of address that over the airwaves. There is consensus, I think, from the board and the administration that, particularly in the case of the adjunct pay, that we'd like to do more for them. They are an important part of our teaching. Our teaching staff. We also agree that long term we should have more full-time faculty than adjuncts. I mean, that's another issue, I think, in which we have agreement moving forward. And we're out there with budget season. The House and the Senate bill came out to respond to the executive budget. Issues
in Albany State.
In
budget.
Albany, yes. And so issues like the TAP gap, the difference between the tuition amount and the money that we actually receive per student, which is an $80 million hole in the CUNY budget, have been partially addressed. So we're lobbying for that to be something that gets fixed. And those are the resources that are going to allow us to hire more faculty, pay better wages, have more staffing, have the buildings in the state of in the conditions that our students and faculty deserve, and we're out there lobbying our elected officials, like the PSC is doing, trying to get more support.
The president of the union, Barbara Bowen, had an op-ed in the Daily News the other day, and some of the stats on the problems that you just articulated and the caller articulated, vice president of the union, I think they'll be shocking to many of our listeners. I don't know if you're in a position to confirm these numbers that she puts out, but CUNY, she writes, has reduced its teaching workforce from a high of 11,500 full-time professors when enrollment was 24,000 students, lower than it is now, to just 7,500 full-time professors now, meaning it's gone from, you know, it's just increased astronomically the amount that the university relies on adjuncts. And then with respect to the adjuncts' pay, she says $3,500 per course. And when you factor in the number of hours that go into teaching a college course, a whole semester for $3,500, that it works out to slightly above minimum wage.
So a couple of things. I mean, since I don't have the numbers right, I'm not going to comment, but I think that the trend that she identifies in which we have an increased number of adjunct faculty, it's alarming to all of us. It's not, and it's not just a City University of New York issue. It's a higher ed funding model issue overall, right? And I don't want to use that as an excuse, right? We're talking about CUNY here, and we're all in agreement that that's something that we would like to change. There's always a role for adjuncts, professionals that, you know, if you wanted to come teach a class, right, but you were doing something else. Mm-hmm. But really that's not what we would like to do. And that trend is there, and we're asking for additional funding to be able to address that. On the issue of the adjuncts too, the base is something that we need to increase. I mean, some adjuncts make more than that too, right? Always quoting what the minimum is. But I concur, and I think that the disagreement is not on that. The agreement is within the resources that we have, right? How do we get there?
So you're in the awkward position in this respect of being, once you're the chancellor, the boss of all these faculty members and the petitioner to the state government, who's really got to provide you the funding to make those things better.
Well, I would like to think that I'm a colleague of all those faculty members and staff who are making the case. And it's a case that we need to make, Brian, not just to the elected officials. We have to do it better to the philanthropic community. New York has a lot of individuals of means who are very generous, and I think they need to be better connected to how indispensable and important CUNY is, and how important it is for them also to embrace it as part of their work. And I think there's work to be done also internally in things in which we can be less bureaucratic and more efficient. So I think that if we work in those three buckets, we're going to be able to advance toward the university that we all aspire to have.
Last thing, I think you're the first non-white CUNY chancellor. Is that correct?
That is correct. I'm not doing any DNA testing here to prove that.
Right. I think it's going to be pretty easy for people to find your claim to Puerto Rican heritage. Not just heritage. You grew up through high school in Puerto Rico, right?
I was born and raised in Puerto Rico, yes. And I think, you know, the accent should also be helpful.
And you even worked in the government of Puerto Rico for a while. What did you do?
I worked for the then governor, Severo Vilá, as a health and human services advisor, and then for the last almost 3 years as the commissioner of social services. It was a great honor to serve. And for me, it was an experience of serving many individuals who are similar to some of the population that we serve at CUNY. So it was a great way, as someone that comes really out of a academic background, to get additional perspective to be a better servant.
So you came from humble beginnings. You went to Yale undergrad, Columbia for your doctorate in history. Now you're going to be the chancellor of the CUNY system. Last thought, does diversity at the top mean anything in a concrete way to the students? in the population.
Oh, and not just to the students, Brian. I think that, you know, first, when you're blessed to be in a situation to be a historic first, if you wish, I mean, the key thing is to make sure that that door keeps being open for so many others. And it's an honor for me to do that. And I've been overwhelmed by the comments by many about that. And I think that in an institution that serves predominantly students of colors and community of color, diversity is important, and diversity is indispensable for robust public higher ed. So, and CUNY has some work to do also on that front, but has been a leader nationally in that. So,
both my parents went to CUNY. My brother went to Queens.
See, I knew.
I went to SUNY.
You're forgiven. Another great institution.
Our newsroom and the Brian Lehrer Show producer staff in recent years is crawling with graduates from the really, really good CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. Congratulations on your appointment as CUNY Chancellor. We look forward to talking to you in the future about lots of higher ed things.
Brian, muchas gracias, and happy to be here, and thank you for all you do.